What is joy without sorrow? What is success without failure? What is a win without a loss? What is health without illness? You have to experience both if you are to appreciate the other. There's always going to be suffering. It's how you look at your suffering, how you deal with it, that will define you. And this week's opening quote comes from Mark Twain. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. There's always going to be balance in the world, folks. Things always return to balance. No matter how imbalanced the world becomes, things always do return to balance. Indeed, when you look at the world today and you see the amount of negativity that's happening, you see that there is a grand awakening that is happening with this negativity. So it's always going to be balanced, folks. This is simply the way the two polarities of energy that are existence play out against each other. And you can call these two polarities of energy good and bad, light and dark, positive and negative, love and fear, whatever you want, however you choose to define them. But it's important to recognize that there are two clear polarities of energy that we experience in this reality, and that these two energies are always in a state of balance. Hence, the more negative the powers that believe they be make things, the larger the awakening of the general population by default. Of course, things may get a little imbalanced at times during the process, but ultimately things always return to equilibrium, whereby both polarities are in balance with each other. Now, when you think of reality as functioning this way, according to two very distinct polarities of energy, you can also apply this to the physical world and to our social systems. It's like what I attempted to present you with on the show last week when I was attempting to portray the universe, or the concept of the universe, as existing as a computer model. What I was attempting to do with that show is to provide you with kind of a holographic image of reality that you could then superimpose over our social and economic systems and use as a template that would provide you an overview of our current situation. Because by applying the holographic template that I provided you with last week to reality, you can see how the energy flows work. You can see what the problem is. There it is. There's your problem. And there's the solution as well. And that's what I've been attempting to present people with these shows. But if you can look at reality as existing according to two distinct polarities of energy, you begin to see how we're being played and how we can make a difference. But it's difficult in conveying this type of information to people, because you start talking about energy and polarities and love and fear, and they say, oh, this is New Age mumbo jumbo. They're just not seeing it as a necessary metaphor to use to be able to explain the system from a spiritual perspective, because you can't just look at the system from a left brain analytical perspective. And that is unfortunately what many people do. Many people, when attempting to address this system or find some remedy within this system, they believe it will be found simply via means of filling out forms and writing things on pieces of paper and doing things in the physical world. They don't understand that there is a spiritual understanding that needs to be applied to the situation as well. Apart from the fact that there will never be any remedy to our situation found in any piece of paper anywhere, it's important to understand that you cannot just look at things from an analytical left-brain physical perspective. You've got to understand that we are being controlled via spiritual and emotional and psychic and mental mechanisms as well. So there's no good looking at things just from a left brain perspective. Just because the powers that believe they be have educated people not to think about the right brain doesn't mean that they don't think about the right brain and they don't use the right brain in order to influence us. And in fact, it is such a predominant influence in our lives that they have worked around the clock to ensure that we never look to our right brain. We never think about reality in that way, because if we were to think about reality in that way and think about it from an energetic perspective, we'd find that the solutions to our problem are really quite simple. And that's why the education system has trained us never to go to the right brain. So indeed, that is precisely where we should be looking for the remedy to our situation. It exists in applying right-brain thinking to a left-brain world. Because the thing is, the left brain world is the world that we see due to our education system, but in fact it is a world that consists of the thought processes of both sides of the brain, left and right. But we're only applying a left brain thinking to this left brain world because the right brain side of the world is hidden from us. And in fact, because the education system is so heavily directed towards the left brain and such an extraordinary attempt has been undertaken in order to keep us from using our right brain, well, this should serve as a huge clue for people. Perhaps there is a reason they don't want you to think with your right brain. And as I said, perhaps that is precisely why you should be looking there, and that is why you should be applying a right brain understanding to what appears to be a left brain world. And that's what I was attempting to do with last week's show. In fact, that's what I've attempted to do with many of the broadcasts right since the show began back in 2008. Just attempt to help people shift their perspective a little bit so it opens up the other side of their brain and they can see that there are realities to a lot of spiritual understandings of the world. It's just that we've been trained to think these are all airy-fairy and don't have any physical application, when in fact they do. And not only do they have physical application, but these concepts are also essential in gaining any true understanding of the situation we're currently in. It's just that these concepts need to be approached with a degree of balance. And that's the problem, really, that we see when applying these type of understandings, because many people will only apply a spiritual understanding to a situation and attempt to deal with it by spiritual means, or they will simply attempt to deal with it via physical means while negating these spiritual understandings completely. And it's important that we do both. We need to have balance. People need to approach physical problems with a spiritual understanding. And in the other extreme, people need to apply their spiritual understandings to the physical world. You can't just do one. You've got to exist in a state of balance. All spiritual understandings have a physical application. You exist in a 3D physical world for a reason, folks, and you're supposed to participate in this world using all of the spiritual and mental tools that you've been granted. It's just important to realize that this balance must be maintained in order for things to work properly and for things to function. And it must especially be applied to our current global situation in order for this situation to be healed. And healing is truly what the world needs more than anything right now, folks. That's what the physical world needs. It's what the natural world needs. It's what the human spirit needs. It's what human consciousness itself needs. All life on this planet, I feel, even the energy field itself, it needs healing. And we're not going to heal it through violence, through anger, through aggravation and agitation. We're going to heal it through a calm understanding of what this situation currently is, what the real problems we currently face are, and via applying a calm, rational, logical, and highly moral response to this situation. If we can do that as a united community, then we will heal the world in a day. But if we're going to maintain an imbalance in approaching this situation, then we're never going to get anywhere. We're just going to continue to exacerbate the situation via confrontation. And that's all it does. Violent confrontation, anger, heated exchanges are counterproductive. Arguments are truly the worst form of communication. In fact, arguments are rarely communication at all. So we don't want to be arguing with people. We want to be simply stating moral facts and seeing whether these facts can be proved to be wrong. Because what we're going to find is that they can't, and that the politicians back themselves into a corner by even attempting to address these issues. But unless people start to speak their truth themselves from their own place in the world, then we're not going to get anywhere, folks. We need people to stand up and call a spade a spade. I mean, you can't just stand around and allow the world to be destroyed around you because you're in a state of fear, because all you're doing is creating that which you fear via your inaction. And the need for people to speak their truth and to start speaking out about the state of the world and the actions of our politicians has never been more urgent, simply because of the lengths that these people are going to lock down this world and to curtail any expansion of human consciousness. Just what we've seen here recently in Australia with this ridiculous siege that we saw. I mean, even if it wasn't a staged event, which I believe it was, it has all the hallmarks of a setup, the media hype surrounding the event was absolutely astronomical. I mean, here you've got a guy with a shotgun who took over a chocolate shop and they shut down Sydney airspace because of a guy in a chocolate shop with a shotgun. Think about that, folks. They shut down Sydney airspace for a day. And there you have Tony Abbott on TV sitting in front of a Christmas tree. A Christmas tree, for God's sake. He's sitting in front of a Christmas tree. No us and them connotations there at all, folks. We're Christian, they're Muslim. We're Christian, they're Muslim. It's Christmas time. There's a terrorist attack at Christmas time. They're trying to destroy us. They're trying to destroy us. And they're calling this guy a fake Muslim in one breath and an Islamic extremist in another. Now, I would say that the whole thing was staged, folks. I've actually heard from people who are in Sydney and they say there was an incredibly large police presence in Martin Place the night before the siege happened. There was even one road that was cordoned off before the siege happened. And I've actually heard from people who are not prepared to come forward that have suggested that the train station was actually evacuated a few minutes before the siege happened as well. And I'm not able to confirm that last point for you, but I am able to confirm that there was a large police presence in Martin Place the night before, even though Martin Place was virtually a ghost town. So it has all the hallmarks of a staged event, folks. Not to mention the fact that the alleged perpetrator was very well known to the police anyway. And so that's two alleged terror attacks that have been directed towards Australians now. One, of course, in the Bali bombing under the Liberal government, of which Tony Abbott was a member. The Bali bombing, of course, bearing all the earmarks of a false flag event and has actually been proven very amply to have been a false flag event, which did not occur in anywhere near the manner in which we are told, and that the Sari Club could not possibly have suffered the damage it suffered due to a fertilizer-packed truck. We've been able to successfully establish USA intelligence and Mossad involvement in the Bali bombings, and the fact that the story of what explosive was used changed as soon as the Australian police came on the scene. So that was the first terror attack that was allegedly directed against Australians, which of course served very well to change public opinion and get us involved in the Iraq war, which we didn't want to participate in until that attack occurred. And the second, this current fiasco we've seen in Sydney, again, under a Liberal government of which Tony Abbott is a member. It would seem that any time Tony Abbott is anywhere near the political halls, Australia suffers a terrorist attack. Perhaps it's the simple fact that Tony Abbott is such a blatantly imbecilic sociopath that he simply causes reality to mirror that energy back to him. Or the other possibility is that dirty little Tony has his dirty little fingers in all the dirty little deeds that we see around us. He certainly is a dirty little man with a dirty little attitude towards the people and a brutal sociopath, and so nothing would surprise me as far as Tony Abbott goes. And as I said, folks, this event in Sydney and the rhetoric and Islamophobia that's being whipped up in its wake has all the hallmarks of being a staged event. I would say the government's in on it, the police are in on it. They probably used a Mossad agent and then brought the patsy in and simply shot him and left him on the floor. I don't trust anything the government tells me, and I trust even less the rubbish that I get fed by the mainstream media. But again, folks, there are many people who are looking at this and saying, well, this is a setup. And they can see that it's a setup, and they can see that it's been staged by the government right on cue, as Tony Abbott was saying, of course, that he was expecting a terror attack. Of course he was, because his lackeys were probably planning it for him. And so what it has done is it has served to wake up a great deal of the population. And I'm frankly sick of these fake Muslims running around the world and blowing things up. You know, I've met a lot of Muslims, and everyone that I've met has been a really nice person, very down to earth, very helpful, very kind. Muslims are peaceful people, and Muslims are no threat to anybody, and all of the so-called Islamic extremism that we're seeing has been created by the West and is run by factions that have been whipped up by Mossad. ISIS is Mossad. ISIS is receiving training and logistics support and medical attention in the Golan Heights, all paid for by Israel. And this is proven, folks. I'm not making this up. There are reports that are coming out that are showing that ISIS is receiving medical attention in the Golan Heights. And there's even a UN report that has surfaced which has suggested that ISIS is actually run by Mossad. And of course, it is. The whole destabilization of the Middle East, all of the Islamic terrorists that we've seen from Al-Qaeda through to ISIS are all Western operations, mostly run by Mossad, and I'm really getting sick of seeing the brain-dead populace simply swallowing the rubbish and attacking Muslims in their countries because these Muslims are actually their allies against the corrupt corporate criminal system that is enslaving this entire planet. Your problem isn't the Muslims, folks. Your problem is the criminals in government such as Tony Abbott and his former boss, Maggot Magoo. And it's the same in England. England's problem isn't Muslims and the Muslim menace. It's David Cameron and the criminal cabal of psychopaths he's got sitting around him in the halls of Parliament. Same in Canada. It's Stephen Harper and his merry band of criminals. And of course, in America, we have Barack, we tortured some folks, Obama, the puppet of the year, and the psychopaths and Wall Street jerk-offs that he has gathered around him as well. That's your problem, folks. It's not the Muslims. It's the scumbags that have been controlling our government. And your real problem is the apathy and the fear that has been instilled into the general population that prevents them from standing up and addressing the current situation at its root cause. That's the problem. And again, folks, it's time to put things back into a state of balance. Because consciousness wants to rebalance itself. This reality wants to rebalance itself. But it needs audience participation to do so. So it's about time people put down their fear and stood up and spoke their truth. You know, when I look at it logically, I find it quite amazing that people are in fear of speaking out. Because what prevents people speaking out is their fear of the system itself, the human rights that are being lost within the framework of this system, and what the system is becoming. And so they keep their head down in the hope that they won't get noticed. But it notices everybody, folks. There's no place you can keep your head down. There's nowhere you can bury your head. There's no place you can go on this globe where you can escape from what this system is becoming. So if you are in fear of the system, why would you delay speaking out against what it is becoming? Because if you delay, then it's going to become everything that you fear. But if you put down the fear now and speak out while you still have a chance to do so, then you can change the system. You can change the direction that we're going simply by speaking your truth and taking the moral high ground in all that you do and taking the moral high ground when you speak your truth. Don't do it with hatred. Come from a place of love and speak common sense truth and the world will hear you. But no one's going to hear anything if you're not prepared to speak. The problem is people are waiting for someone else to stand up and speak publicly. Well, I'm doing it as publicly as I'm able. If I was ever invited to speak on a mainstream show, I'd be saying exactly what I've been saying on my own radio shows. I'm doing everything I can, but I'm just not able to speak at rallies and public gatherings because the people who organise such things always freak out when they hear that it's me who's coming and they always refuse to let me speak. And so therein lies the folly of waiting for someone such as myself to stand up and speak publicly. I mean, I'm doing what I can, but it's honestly up to whether I can ever gain the platform. But if all of us start speaking our truth, then one of us will soon gain the platform. And there's no way that even when someone stands up and speaks publicly, that they're ever going to succeed with the rest of the world just sitting there behind their television sets and rallying them on. We need this message to be coming from all quarters in our community. We need seeds to be sprouting everywhere. Imagine this control system as a huge concrete floor, and the lawn is attempting to come back. If one little blade of grass pokes its head up through the center, it's going to take a long time to reclaim that concrete floor. But if there are grass seeds and stalks poking up over the entire floor, then before very long, the floor will cease to be visible. And that's the way we have to do it ourselves, folks. We all have to make our voices heard. There can be no leaders in this awakening that is occurring. It has to be an individual awakening and manifest itself through individual participation. And that means you putting down your fear, stepping into your power, and standing up and speaking your truth. And honestly, folks, the time has never been riper for this to happen. There's never been a greater opportunity for us to do so. I mean, look at all of our countries. Look at the corruption in all Western countries at the moment. It's the visible corruption. Look at the visible corruption here in Australia with the Abbott regime. This guy has broken every single election promise he made. He's a bare-faced liar, and he's involving Australia in wars overseas which are illegal, immoral, inhuman, and are causing a huge backlash to this country. He's stealing from the people in as much as none of the wealth of this country is being transferred down to the hands of the people. None of the common wealth is being transferred to the common people. And if even a small portion of the wealth of this country was transferred down to the citizens, even a small percentage, then we would be living one of the most opulent lifestyles on the planet. So that's just this country. Look at England. You've got David Cameron, and the whole Cameron regime has just been proven to be supportive of the torture program, the illegal torture program of the United States. This is a wonderful opportunity for the people of England to stand up and kick this little criminal sociopath out and throw him in jail where he belongs. And every politician that supports him as well would be a good start. And they can't say, oh, look, I was just following the party line. I was just doing this. No, what you were doing was acting immorally, and you were approving of torture by your silence, so off to jail with everybody else. If that's what you want to do, we could do that, folks. Personally, I'd just like to get all of these politicians, and I'd like to put them all on Christmas Island in the refugee camp that they've got there, and I'd like to let them all fight out their little wars amongst themselves. That's what I'd like to see happen to all of these politicians. But all of these global situations, I mean, we've got so many opportunities now to speak out. I mean, the crimes of these governments are so apparent now. They are in so many people's faces. Even the brain-dead, asleep man on the street can see that your government is a criminal government. I mean, this is blatantly obvious to everybody now. And that provides us with a huge opportunity if people choose to participate. And I believe that's what all these events are giving us an opportunity for, folks. It's participation. That's what we need to do. We just got to look at this situation and see that it can be fixed if we choose to participate. And you see, again, folks, it comes back to balance. It comes back to putting things back into balance, and it comes back to realizing that the situation we are facing now is due to an imbalance, in as much as we have very few people actually participating in reality. We have a small oligarch of politicians and controllers of the money system who are actually participating in what direction reality goes in. The rest of the population, the only portion of reality they are participating in is what can serve their own self. Of course, this is happening because they've been placed into a state of scarcity where they must always serve the needs of the self first and look after the needs of the self. But because of this, they're not participating in the running of their country. They're not participating in the direction human consciousness is going. They're not participating in what the education system is teaching their children. They're not participating in anything that really matters. All they're participating in is attempting to navigate through the economic system in order to survive. That's really all they're participating in, folks, is their own survival. And this is a construct of the system. Society has been structured in such a way as to cause this situation to occur. And what it has done is it has created an imbalance. An imbalance in as much as it prevents a collective input into the direction that humankind is going. And we are all members of humankind. We are all participating in the same experience here. But the lack of attention the overall general population is paying to reality and paying to the direction the world is going simply due to the fact that they are forced to run on a treadmill of scarcity for their entire lives means that we are left with a very, very few people who control the direction the world is going, and that is exactly what has created this imbalance. So we need to return to a state of balance whereby we are all participating in society, and we are all participating in the direction this world is going. You know, don't believe that you're a little person and you're worth nothing and that you can't make the big decisions, because we can. The people who are running this planet are just your employees who are making all the decisions for you, and every decision they are making is designed to serve themselves and those who they work for, those who they have allegiances to. And these are usually financial interests. It's not the people of the country. Don't believe that your politicians are working for you, because they're not. They're working for the financial interests that give them the money they need to run the country and conduct the wars and all of the atrocities that they're doing. All of this stuff is done by design, folks, and it's created a massive imbalance. And as soon as we can see it that way and see ourselves as being worth something and worthy and of equal standing to everybody else, we can rectify this state of imbalance. But while we continue to look away from our own personal power and refuse to acknowledge the need for our own participation in this experience, and real participation, not just financial participation, not just buying stuff for our kids, not just building a better house, but real participation in the world, in the direction the world is going, in the direction human consciousness is going. As soon as we do this, we can rectify this state of imbalance. We can do it quite peacefully. This is what I mean. We don't need any wars. We don't need any revolutions. We know these people are criminals. We've got all the evidence we've ever needed to show that they're criminals. And we simply need to stand up and rectify the situation, because that will put the world back into a state of balance. And that's what wants to happen. That's what this awakening is about, folks. It's about consciousness wanting to rebalance itself. And the only thing that's holding people back from participating in this is the sense of fear that has been instilled into them by the system itself. And the problem is that if people do allow this fear to overcome them and to prevent them from speaking their truth now, then they're unfortunately going to create the very reality that they are so fearful of. And we simply can't allow that to happen, folks. And we've been given every opportunity we've ever needed to ensure that it doesn't happen. All we have to do is participate. All we have to do is to put down the fear and raise the frequency in ourselves enough to give us the strength we need to stand up and speak our truth. But I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, when you can think of human expression as also needing to be in a state of balance, and you can see that this is what has caused the problem, is the imbalanced state of human consciousness at the moment, inasmuch as there is a very, very small section of human consciousness which is controlling the direction of the planet, and there is the vast majority of human consciousness simply running around oblivious to the whole situation. This has created a huge imbalance, and it is this imbalance which has created all of the destruction, mayhem, and war that we see on the planet. All of it is due to a state of imbalance, and it's due to the non-participation of most of the general public. But here we are in 2014, almost 2015, just around the corner, and we're in a position and a situation now where consciousness wants to shift. The energy wants to change, and there are so many people who can feel this. And it's even incredible, some of the insights that I've been having when I do these radio shows. You would not believe, folks, the amount of people who write to me when I do a radio show and they say, I don't know how you do it, but every week when I listen to you, you speak about exactly what I'm thinking about. And for me, this is confirmation that the information comes from the field. The information is part of the overall state of human consciousness. And each show that I've done is kind of a progression of that. I mean, if you go back and listen to these shows from 2008, I'm sure you can measure the progression of my particular consciousness through the learning curves that I've gone through in the last 7 years. And this seems to be being mirrored by much of the world out there. And people that are completely from left field will have these sorts of experiences. And so I know that I'm on the right track, and I know that consciousness is on the right track, and I know that things want to shift. And all it needs to happen is for us to put down our fear. If you can really see how simple that would be, folks, if you're suddenly not afraid of people, if you suddenly treat everybody around you as yourself in Lakesh, even the police, even the judges, even the lawyers, these are just men in suits and men in fancy dress. They don't have any real authority over you. They're just people. And if you can not go into a state of fear when you converse with these people and treat them as equals, you'll find that you can often neutralize many situations. Of course, it's very difficult with some police officers because these people are just bred to be sociopaths and they're covered with electromagnetic equipment, which makes them aggressive, and many of them are steroid heads as well. So you have these electronically controlled androids running around pretending they're serving society. So that's not a good look. And it's not good to try to approach these people because you can't really expect anything nice from a modern police officer. Certainly nothing courteous or nothing helpful. Well, that is unless, of course, you're asking the police to go and interfere with somebody else. They're always too happy to do that. They're quite happy to participate in anything that might result in corporate gain for the system. But that's about it, really, as far as modern police go. They're certainly not there to help society or to help the inhabitants of their cities. They're there to enforce legislation, regardless of how corrupt that legislation may be. So there's really not much sense in attempting to get any compassion, sense, or rhyme or reason, or even intelligence out of them. But in dealing with the system itself, if we can put down the fear and simply stand and speak our truth, things will change. But again, I cannot stress the importance of having an empowered community. This is where everybody's focus should be, and I've been saying this for 7 years, folks. Your focus needs to be on getting to know the people around you and creating friendships with these people, because you need to have your friends standing around you and supporting you when we face what's coming, because there is a lot of bad things coming down the pike if people don't stand up very, very soon. And so we need to pay attention to that. I'm hoping people will begin to speak out. I'm seeing more and more people do it. And don't think that there aren't people speaking out, folks. And the main reason many people out there in the alternate media and many people out there who are awake don't feel like they are supported by the community is because they're not seeing it on the news. But the news is never going to tell you the truth, folks. So don't worry about what the television's telling you. Go out and get to know your community. Try to instigate things like weekly meetings in your town hall or something like that, just so you can discuss the local events and the local news and how people feel about the global situation, how people feel about their local council, how people feel about the direction we're going. Just try to create some sort of community meetings or movement where you're discussing these things with people. And if you do this, you're going to find that there's a lot of people that are just as awake as you are. It's just that the media isn't telling you. Because, of course, they won't, because they don't want anyone to feel like they have any support from anybody. They just want people to toe the party line like they do. But you don't have to, folks. You don't have to toe the party line at all. There's a huge awakening happening on this planet, and there is every opportunity at our fingertips to change things. I mean, especially in America. Look at what you've going on in America. This whole Guantanamo Bay Gitmo torture program that's been exposed, and in England as well, because it's been revealed that England not only was supporting this, but they participated in the cover-up because they didn't want anyone to know about their involvement. And think about this, folks. You had Barack Obama go on national television and say, well, we tortured some folks, we made a mistake. And then he referred to the people who did the torturing as folks as well. Made it all very folksy and all very safe and cozy and, oh dear, we tortured some folks, we made a mistake. No, it wasn't a mistake, Mr. Obama. It was a crime. And if you think about it, folks, you've got a president who's getting all folksy over the fact that the government that he supports and the previous government that he failed to investigate was carrying out acts of brutal torture. Torturing people to death, innocent people being tortured to death for information that they did not have, never had, didn't know anything at all, were completely innocent people tortured to death by an insane government in order to extract information that these people never had. Think about that, folks. Think about being taken from your home and tortured to death for information that you never had. And if you're not tortured to death, to be locked up and incarcerated and subject to brutal and inhumane treatment for years on end for information you never had. and you weren't even proven guilty of any crime, all someone did was point the finger and say, I think this guy's a bit sus. And so the government picked you up and tortured you for years and years and years, illegally, did it offshore in a prison so that it was not subject to the laws of your own country. And when this is all exposed, this psychopath, this sociopath, this subhuman offspring of a festering worm has the unmitigated audacity to go onto television and say, well, we made a mistake. We tortured some folks. I mean, I don't know. If the American people cannot see this as the greatest opportunity for freedom from an utterly corrupt and irreparable regime, then I don't know what else will. I don't know what will wake these people up. I mean, all of these illegal wars and all of the money this insane American government is spending on these wars and the amount of hardship they're putting their people through to do it, and torture and illegal bombing of other countries, the drone strikes through Pakistan, the drone strikes through Yemen, the drone strikes everywhere. It's absolutely insane, folks. And not only that, but it's been supported by England. It's been supported by Australia. It's been supported by all of these insane lunatics all around the world who simply seem to have their hearts hell-bent on destruction, death, mayhem, and locking their own citizens down into a police state under the pretext of keeping them safe, when all they're doing is keeping us safe, pretending to keep us safe from the very hardship and ill that they are creating themselves by their own actions. And this is all due to the state of imbalance of human consciousness at the moment and people's failure to pay attention to what these politicians are up to. People are, of course, beginning to notice now, though, because things have escalated so much in the last few months and even in the last few weeks, things seem to be escalating at an exponential curve all the time. And it's important to realize that so much of what we are seeing is theater. There is so many elements at play here. Something that I've been hearing a lot about lately is the concept of white genocide and the influx of Muslims into Europe. Now, as far as white genocide goes, I don't place too much credence on being white. I don't place too much credence on skin color at all. I have no, shall I say, racial loyalty that I feel is necessary to display. I have loyalty to life. I have loyalty to those who are pure of heart, regardless of skin color. If there's a white guy and a different colored guy there, and I can only save one, then I'm going to save the guy with the purest heart, regardless of skin color. So I don't place too much credence on the whole white genocide thing. I mean, I'd be happy to see all the races breed together and there'd be one race of coffee-colored people and we all got along. I don't really care about that. But as far as the massive Muslim influx into Europe that people are seeing as the Muslim threat, the encroachment of Islam, the problem is that people have been trained to vilify Islam. They think it's some evil disease or evil religion that cuts people's heads off if they don't comply. And this is simply not the case. And the influx of Muslims that we're seeing into Europe is a precise result of the amount of damage that the West has been doing to the Middle East. I mean, if you lived in Syria or Lebanon or Palestine or any of these Muslim countries at the moment, folks, I guarantee you wouldn't be looking at staying there for very long. You'd be wanting to leave as soon as you could, because we have created an enormous amount of instability in the area. And if you're in the Middle East and you have to leave because we've turned it into a war zone, where are you going to go? Well, of course, you're going to go north to Europe because it's about the only place you can go. So the whole Muslim influx into Europe is a result of the Western actions in the Middle East. And with the way the media is portraying it, it's designed precisely to shift the public perspective and to cause people to believe that there is this massive Muslim influx and that Islam is encroaching into their country. It's a scam. It's a setup. It's designed to divide the communities. It's designed to train people to distrust Muslims so that the powers that believe they be can continue bombing the Arab world with the public consent and that they can expand the Greater Israel Project. That's what it's all about. Of course it is. Stand back and look at the big picture, folks. And as I said, if you're in the Middle East and we came and started bombing your country, what would you do? You'd leave. Of course you would. Where would you go? You'd go to the first place available. And where's that? If you're in the Middle East, it's Europe. the West intervenes in the Middle East, causes all of this damage, and so the Middle East encroaches upon the West. It all comes back to a state of balance. Consciousness has to rebalance itself. And if you're going to go to a country and destroy it, then the people of that country are going to come to you, and it's eventually going to encroach upon and destroy your culture. This is how you homogenize the earth, folks. And again, it's down to a state of balance, and when you look at the global situation, you can see that the powers that believe they be know very well how things rebalance themselves, and that's why they play things the way they do, because they know what the result is going to be. And all they have to do is train humans to think a certain way, and they will. And everything will go the way the oligarchs want it to do. All they had to do is train the people to believe that Islam is a threat, and then go in and bomb Islamic countries so that all the people from these countries have to flee to the West, and suddenly the West believes they're being invaded by Islam, when really it's the West going in and creating the whole thing to begin with. And the entire hierarchical system in the Arab world was created by the West anyway. Islamic extremism was created by the West. All the wars that we've seen on this planet since the turn of the last century have been created by the West. And it's all happened because of this state of imbalance, because people have been allowing a very small oligarch to run the ship of state, when really it's something that we all should be participating in, because this ship of state is what controls our lives, and our life is what we are here to experience. We need to participate in our life, folks, and if there are mechanisms in place which are controlling our lives and curtailing our ability to express ourselves, then we need to address that, because these types of situations can only have arisen from our failure to pay attention and our willingness to give our power away to other people, mainly due to the training that we have received via this very insidious education system. And it got to a certain point, I mean, it's got to the point that it's brought us where we are now. But as you can see, due to the awakening that's happening, things are now beginning to rebalance themselves. And that's why the powers that believe they be are going so hard, because they are desperately trying to maintain the imbalanced state of the world, because that's the only way they can control things. But it's not going to happen, because they don't realize that all their actions do is wake up more and more people. And eventually we're going to have many police officers waking up as well. The biggest problem we face with the police, of course, is because of the peer group pressure that they're under, the big boys club that they're in, and of course the electromagnetic equipment that they are all wearing as well. I can only imagine what sort of frequencies are going through these people's brains. I also very much wonder how many police are microchipped. I think the number may be higher than what the public would believe and what the police or government would ever let on. And don't forget, folks, these microchips can be delivered in a very, very small delivery system. I really do wonder how many of these police officers are so brutal and so sociopathic because their thought process and electromagnetic processing system is being monitored and interfered with via an outside source. It really wouldn't surprise me if this is the case. It's certainly one of the only things that would explain the inhumanity of these people. I mean, I really can't believe the absolute lack of empathy of many modern police officers and the sheer brutality they're willing to carry out against innocent people, 40-year-old women, 50-year-old women, doesn't matter whether it's a man, woman or child. These people are so willing to brutalize the public. I can't imagine what has been done to their minds to push them into such a state where they are behaving in such an unconscious manner towards another living being. It really, really does make me wonder, and it fascinates me actually to a certain degree as to what type of programming these people have been subject to and what type of electromagnetic influences or perhaps chemical influences they are subject to that puts them into this type of a state. I really can't identify with the state of many police officers. I've never seen normal people behave in such unconscious and sociopathic ways and with such little regard for the safety of people and such lack of empathy. I've really never seen anything like it in any other breed of human being. I mean, I haven't even seen bikies that act the way police officers do towards people. And I've seen some brutal bikie situations. I've seen some brutally sociopathic situations, folks. Having worked in bands for most of my life, some of the fights that I saw break out in hotels and on streets in some places, but I never saw anybody act with the sheer brutality and utter lack of empathy, as I've seen police officers do, putting people in torture holds and choke holds and bending people's arms so high up their back they're breaking their arms, putting zip ties around people's wrists instead of handcuffs and making them so tight that their hands turn blue. Things that boggle the mind. I really must wonder what has been done to these people. And in fact, that is a real worry, folks. It is one of the biggest dangers we face as Western society is the brutality of our law enforcement officers. These people make it almost impossible for us to deal with the political corruption in our country because these people have no real common sense and they have a blind obedience to authority regardless of how corrupt it is. And that is a real worry. That is what has made any tyranny work in any history that we can see in any country that has ever been a brutal dictatorship or a tyranny. What has caused it and what has allowed it to happen is the sociopathic nature and blind obedience of the law enforcement personnel in that country. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing in our Western countries now. Our countries that are supposed to be so free and democratic, well, they're only as free as the big boys club will let you be these days. And that is the biggest problem that we face. But again, it's a problem that can be overcome by an empowered society. We can deal with all of this, folks, but we have to recognize that these problems exist. We have to recognize that this is what our police force has become, because unfortunately it's true. I mean, sure, you can still call on these guys if you're in trouble, if you've had your house broken into or someone's attacked you or whatever. But when they're not responding to things like that, they're simply out harassing people, pulling over drivers and harassing them, searching their cars, testing them for drugs or alcohol, or just looking for any way they can intimidate or get revenue from people and just otherwise mess up people's days. They just seem to like stopping people and messing up their days and just letting them know that we have power over you, so don't think you can do anything that we're not watching you. That's the type of attitude they portray these days, and it's a very uncomfortable attitude, and it's something that people need to pay attention to because it's a real threat to any conscious shift, and it's a real threat to dealing with the corruption in all of our countries. And that certainly is a sad state of affairs, folks, to say that our biggest problem with dealing with corruption in the modern world is the brick wall of mindless obedience that is our modern police force. It's a sad thing to say, but unfortunately, it's true. But again, folks, it all comes down to a state of imbalance that currently exists in the world due to the non-participation of most of the people. Well, the non-participation in anything real, as I said before, the non-participation in anything except running on the treadmill in an attempt to survive this economic nightmare that's been superimposed over our reality. That is what's happening, folks. That is the main cause of our problems. And that's the way we need to view things. You know, last week when I did this show, I did a show last week which I thought was one of the most important shows that I've done. If you missed it, the name of the show was Frequency Shift Reality Reset. In that show, as I mentioned earlier, I attempted to present a holographic model of the Earth and of our social systems that you could use to apply to the physical world. And that's what we need to do now. We need to see how this is all about energy, and we need to see how we can change things if we raise our own frequency. And when I say raise the frequency, I'm not saying sit down and meditate and put flowers in your hair and become a hippie. What I'm saying is put down the fear. You've got to really step back and see how the two polarities of energy work and how energy always rebalances itself. And the big imbalance that we have in the world at the moment, folks, is due to this massive injection of fear into human consciousness. And this is coming from everywhere, folks. The threat of terrorism, Fukushima, oil spills, depleted uranium, sunspots, you name it. There's so many things they can use to keep us in fear. Financial crash. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it starts when you're a child. Fear of authority, fear of peer group pressure, fear of exams, fear of what your folks might think if you fail, fear of getting a bad mark on your test results. All of these sorts of things, all training you to be subservient and training you to operate in a state of fear, thinking that everything has a fear-related aspect. But it's not true. Fear has been superimposed over us, folks, due to a lack of knowledge of ourselves. That's the only thing that's allowed it to get this bad. And We've been given every opportunity to deal with this. We've been given every opportunity we've ever needed to wake up to ourselves. All we have to do is step up to the plate. You know, the truth is, folks, when you step back and look at this situation, human consciousness is walking on a knife edge at the moment. We could literally go either way. It all depends on the degree of participation of the general population. And that's why I do these shows. That's why I attempt to empower people into participation. Because if you don't participate, then you're going to reap what you sow. And that will be a control grid that you can't get out of and your children can't get out of. But you probably don't have to worry about it because many of the people that are here in the world today will probably not survive the transition. But the problem is that those who come after will never know. They will never know what came before because all the history will have been digitized. There'll be nothing left for people to see what came before. It will all exist in a virtual world and they'll be able to make up any story they want to control human consciousness, and that story will be what aims human consciousness from that point. And we have an ability to change that. We have an ability right here and an opportunity right here, right now, to free ourselves from the control grid completely. Once and for all, 100%, we can do this. All we have to do is choose to participate. And that's been the message of these shows ever since I began these shows, folks. All I've ever encouraged people to do is to find themselves and to make their voice heard. Step into their heart, discover what they really are, express the art of themselves, and take the moral high ground and stand up and speak your truth. The world needs you to do this. The society that you live in needs you to do this. Your children need you to do this. We all need to help each other through this period, folks. But it all comes down to conscious choice as to whether or not you will participate. And there are so many ways in which you can participate. Whatever motivates you, whatever cause you feel like you should stand up for it, but address it from its root cause. Like I said last week, understand that all of these causes that we face, all these problems are a result of the economic model. Stand up and address it. The plight of the Palestinian people. Stand up and address this. We cannot forget the plight of those in Gaza. We cannot forget that this is the greatest moral issue of our time and therefore affords us the greatest opportunity for freedom from tyranny that's ever been given us. This is an opportunity for every country that's ever supported the actions of Israel to have their government dismissed immediately if they stand up and participate. And there are new things that are happening all the time in our own countries. This new torture scandal gives the American and British people a clear opportunity to dismiss their governments, to demand that their governments show cause why they should not be dismissed, why the people of their country should not express a loss of confidence in these governments and have all of the people within these governments charged with crimes against humanity, and, in the case of America, all the people of the previous government as well, the Bush family, Condoleezza Rice, Rumsfeld, Cheney, all of these people need to be prosecuted for their crimes. And we're being afforded a myriad of opportunities to do this in all of our countries. We just have to stand up, speak our truth, and take the bull by the horns. And not only that, folks, but consciousness wants you to do so because consciousness wants to shift. Consciousness wants to restore the balance, and that is up to all of you. And now's the time we can make this happen, folks. We've never been at a greater and more important time in human history, because never before have we been provided with the opportunities that we are now being provided with. They may be crises when viewed on the surface, but there is truly opportunity in all crisis when viewed from the correct perspective. And now's the time that you can make a difference right there where you live. All you have to do is speak your truth. But that is it for me, folks. I think we've reached the end of this show here, so I'm going to have to say goodbye. Thank you very much for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website, and I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. I love you all. In Lakesh.